Is conflict between parents and students poisoning your community? Are disrespectful behaviors draining teachers? Do you wish you had a foolproof way of bringing on new board members and vetting new families? You're not going to believe it, but your mission statement is the key to unlocking a close-knit community, establishing a solid board, and making sure new families that join you are an awesome fit. In this episode, we will show you how to use this one solid tool in four different ways to get everyone in your community focused on the same target.
Welcome to Lead Your Homeschool Co-op. Do you desire a Christian community with families that fit? Do you find yourself up late at night Googling conflict resolution and how to build a community? Do you dream of a sustainable homeschool group only to feel discouraged when policies fail, logistics get in the way, or a conflict comes up again?
Hello! We are the Homeschool Community Builders. Together, we have more than 30 years of experience in leading successful homeschool groups. But at one time, we too were in co-ops that did not work for our families. We needed deep relationships and a community that would help our families grow in faith. In order to be a part of a sustainable Christian community, we stepped out in faith and trusted God's plan to build the community that we desired.
In this podcast, we will help you create Christ-centered policies, establish a close-knit culture, and develop strong leadership skills so that you can serve your community well. So grab a pen and paper, be ready to take some notes, and be encouraged. You can do this.
Before we get started, I just wanted to remind you that we have a free Facebook page. It's called Lead Your Homeschool Co-op Facebook page. And we just want you to jump on over there and join us. Post a question or a problem you're having, or just get a conversation started. We'd love to help you in whatever way that you're needing right now. And we'd just love to connect with you there. So jump on over there and jump on our Facebook page. Remember your mission statement? A mission statement is a few simple sentences that describes who you are and what you do. If you haven't created your mission statement, we walked you through this. Go back and listen to our two-part series. It's episodes 8 and 10, and we'll be sure to put that in our show notes at the end of the show.
So we want to talk today about how to use your mission statement to help cast a vision for all the people in your community. The first group we want to talk about are actually those who aren't in your community yet, but want to join your community. And so vetting new members is one of the first ways that you can use your mission statement. Well, let's talk about what does this look like? How do we use our mission statement to vet new members?
And why is it important to vet new members?
Well,
it is important.
It's very important. We want to find people who fit our community. Right. And how do we know if they fit? We can interview them, but how does the mission statement help guide us in that interview?
One of the reasons why it's so important is to find members that are in line with your pillars, the things that are the most important, your non-negotiables. So when you use your mission statement is going to very simply give them a way to know exactly what you're all about. And you can use your mission statement to elaborate on all of those things. It also helps to bring out what is important to you as a community and make sure that that's a good fit as far as what is a good fit for them. An example is that we did not do a very good job at this in the beginning when we first started our co-op. And we had a family come in who had a really relaxed way of homeschooling. They like to homeschool through the entire year. They like to stay a long time on certain subjects, and that's awesome, but it didn't fit our method of how we do school. We have a lot of accountability and deadlines and things like that. So it was frustrating for them because they wanted to take their time and be able to travel and do other things. And we were constantly nagging them for getting their stuff done. So you could see how that wasn't a good fit.
And it wasn't that
avoided.
Right. It wasn't that they were a problem family. It's just they had a different set of priorities, right? And so
exactly.
It's good for both parties when you figure out ahead of time that it's not a good fit. It's good for the family too, because maybe there is another group that they could join that is a better fit for them.
Exactly.
I can think of kind of the same kind of example with our community, where we have gone through an interview and expressed to families, okay, so what we mean by community is that parents are present, students are present, people are engaged, and we want you to be fully engaged in the community. And then having been assured of that, what they actually wanted later was they wanted a drop-off program. They wanted to drop their kids off and not really be involved. And had we used our mission statement, we could have avoided that situation. Now, in the end, we went back to our mission statement and were able to go to them and say, look, this really isn't a good fit. Here's why. And we think it would be better if you didn't re-enroll in our community, but looked for something else, because it's not really what you want and you're not doing exactly what we want. So it was a tool used later to help solve the problem that we ended up in.
And then it's also good to go over the mission statement and have it be a good fit, right? When you have families that they feel connected to the mission statement, they can see how their participation in upholding that fosters a really great environment for everyone involved. And then you have families that are invested in the longevity of your community, not just a I'm here right now, but how can I invest? How can I further this mission and this vision for this community? Because it's not just about the right here, right now.
It's actually really amazing when you find families like that, right? That see your vision and they jump in and they become leaders in the community. Their kids are happy to be there. They're all completely bought in. They willing to help wherever. It's such a breath of fresh air. So yes, your mission statement can find those families, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I often find that those families are so grateful and appreciative of everything and they see all of the work that the board is doing, and they're just have a lot of gratitude towards it. So use your mission statement, know what your pillars are, and help the new people understand what they're getting into, and be as clear as possible. Elaborate on it. Don't present it. Explain what each one of those pillars means as a member of the community, and you'll experience a wealth of relationships with the new people in your community.
Mm-hmm.
Another way that you can use your mission statement is through casting vision through your teachers, through teacher training. So these are the families that are in your community group. And when you use your mission statement, you're focusing on what it means to be as a community. So our four pillars are that we are Christ-centered, that we're preparing our kids spiritually, academically, that we foster authentic friendships, and that we serve for the glory of God. So when you get your teachers on board, then everything falls into place. When your teachers are not on board, then it can be difficult. When you're focused on that mission statement and you're all focused on that one same target, then you're able to set aside your differences. You're able to resolve conflict easier, and people get along a lot better. But you have to keep aiming.
You have to keep reminding people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah,
think
you have to keep reminding them.
I also think that if you have a mentor that does not understand the mission statement, or a teacher that does not understand or does not fully buy in, there will always be questions. Well, why are we doing this? And why are we doing that? And can we pick a different curriculum? And it's this kind of underlying current of resistance, when the flow, if we all agree with the vision, we can all flow together. So it's really important to get teachers understanding and believing in what you're doing by using that mission statement.
And I would have a pulse on that, because we do want our mentors and our teachers to take initiative and to go forth with their plan. But if their plan does not match the mission of the community, then things can go haywire very, very quickly. And then there's resentment and confusion. You don't want to just let anyone take the reins and go. You want to keep coming back to your mission statement and making sure that all the decisions are in alignment with that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, incorporate this in your teacher training regularly. Once a year is not enough.
Definitely say once a year is not enough.
We have mentor meetings every quarter, and there's a piece of this that we touch on pretty much every single time. So we're always coming back to it. And I was going to also throw in here that, again, on the other side of this, if you have mentors that fully believe in and adopt your vision and your mission statement and understand what it is, it's amazing what can be accomplished, because they will bring in new ideas and they will do research and they'll take initiative and they will just add so much to what you're doing, because they see the importance, they see the beauty, and they're loving it. And so that love of what we're learning gets passed on to the students as well. The students, I think, know that. They know when a teacher loves what they're doing and believes in what they're doing, and that helps them to believe in it as well.
Yeah, it makes a big impact on the students. And the other thing that it does is it provides grace between teachers, because, you know, we all are different, but it when everybody is willing to put their individualistic ideas aside and focus on that main goal, then you have a lot more of a grace-filled environment.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super, super important. We can also use it with students. Pam, you recently kind of tried to cast a vision for the students in your community. Do you want to kind of tell us how you used the mission statement to do that?
Yeah, so I was actually really heartbroken, because some of the feedback that I received from our community was that kids were saying that the parents are just coming down on us and correcting their behavior. I just basically use our mission statement, and I use it regularly when I talk in front of our student body. They all know what our four pillars are, and we talk about that in whatever aspect that we're learning. We do leadership at our community too. And so just by casting that vision of what it is, what it means to them to be in community, that it's not just coming there to just check off the boxes and to do school, but that they have people around them that love them, and that the reason why we're trying to bring out the best in all of the kids. And so as they're encountering things that may feel uncomfortable or may be challenging to them, that they have a community and what that means to them, because they might not fully buy into or even understand the mission statement. But I think if we can continue to help them to understand, that they would recognize that that mission statement is there to help them to learn and grow in an environment of love.
Mm-hmm. Well, it gives a formality to the community, that it's more than just homeschooling, right? There's relationships there that, if we vetted families well, the people that are there want to be there to form relationships. And so if the students know that this is a long-term relationship-based kind of school, if you will, I think it will help them appreciate more what is going on there. They might not, but it's good for them to know that people are there on their side.
Yeah, and to just give them perspective, because I think that they don't have perspective the way that we do, because we are so invested in our kids, right? That's why we're willing to put all this work into leading and teaching at our co-ops. And for, I think sometimes they just think this is just what life is, and they just are showing up and just trying to do their thing. You know, they don't really get it. And so helping them to understand that what we're doing is something bigger than just the checking off the boxes on the syllabi, and that it's because we love them and that we want the best for them. And it's not just their parents that do, but all of the other families that are investing in them in their community.
Yeah.
So I love that about our mission statement, that it can be used in so many different versatile ways.
Well, and it's helpful for parents to know that they're not just coming to check off the boxes as well. And that's kind of going back to vetting families, but bringing people on who understand that this is a community and what all that entails is more than just coming to a place where you do some school together and then leaving. It's more than that.
And I think that's also, we did a podcast a while back about why is community necessary. And I think that is what sets what we're talking about different than a drop-off type community.
Yeah.
Is that these people, the people that you're in this community with, you're doing life with them. It's a iron sharpens iron kind of relationship with these families, and you got to be ready for that. And it takes effort, and it takes time and commitment. But the benefits of it are that you have this whole tribe of people around your kids who love them, that are pouring into them, other voices that they get to hear, lifting them up and believing in them.
Yeah. You can't find that hardly any place today, and it's so irreplaceable. So it is worth all of the difficult things that it takes to build this community. And your mission statement just helps that process so much because it keeps you focused on the things that are the most important. There's one last way that we have here that the mission statement can help in guiding your community. So the first one was in vetting new families. The second one was training teachers. The third one was in growing up our students and helping them to get the perspective of what a community is. And the last one is in vetting new leadership, and especially board members. Hannah, maybe you can talk about how this focus of the mission statement helps us to find new board members.
Well, the ones that are not in line with your vision, your mission statement, they would not be the ones that you want to pursue. So that's an easy way to take some people off the list.
Yeah.
But really, the people that you don't have to ask them, they are looking for ways to support the community. They uphold the mission statement without coercion.
Yes.
That is a good thing. You know, if you're not having to remind them, hey, remember, this is what we're all about, then that you're on track to having some good people in consideration for potential leadership.
Well, I think another way that it can help too, because you might find somebody that you think might be a good board member. And when you sit down with the mission statement, I think it's a tool that helps you to really focus on the difficulties of being a board member. A board member has to really hold the line. They really have to be willing to look at all the pillars of that mission statement and say, this is something I'm willing to hold the line on when there's a conflict about it, because that's really our job as board members, is to be the rails that keep the community going on the track that it's supposed to be, right? And if the board, or if that like potential board member, is not willing to really take a stand on the things that are non-negotiable, then they may not be a good fit.
So how do you practically do this in recruiting new board members? First of all, whenever we sit down to talk to somebody about, we don't normally invite them. We don't say, I want to invite you to be on the board. we say we would like to invite you to sit down and talk about what it would look like if you were on the board. Because until you really break out your mission statement, you go through what each one of those parts means, it's going to be really difficult to know for them to know if it's a good fit or not. An example of this is we just had to bring on two new board members, and one of them was not a good fit. And she realized that after we talked about it was more time for her because there's a lot of time involved. But also, we have one that was a new Christian. So our number one pillar is that we're Christ-centered. So as a board, we have a specific way of how we're going to deal with conflict. There's going to be conflict within the board because we don't always agree on stuff. There'll be conflict in the community. We'll talk about conflict a lot on this podcast, but you're having being bought in on your mission statement is crucial as a board member. And going back to what we were talking about finding families who are bought in on all of your pillars, you really need a board member who is bought in on all of your pillars, not just one or two or, you know, but all of them.
Yeah, and you have to be able to defend all of them, right?
Yeah, so it helps to make it really clear. And then when it is a good fit, then they're excited to serve and they have so much to offer.
Yeah, so I mean, kind of to wrap up, the mission statement helps you to weed out those who are not a good fit and then to capture those who are a good fit. And both things are a blessing. Both things are what you need for your community. And it's so great to experience when it is a good fit. It's just awesome. So
it's a tool to use frequently, not just infrequently, because you have to keep bringing people back to your mission statement in order for it to serve your community in the long run.
We're all the same. I mean, it's just like anything. We forget, right? Like we start going down roads and we start getting into just the nitty gritty and the grind of things. And then we get off track. And so it just keeps focusing back on that target. Also, it helps us when we're being under spiritual attack because the enemy wants to separate you guys, us, all of us, and to get us going down different tracks, and because he hates it when we're united. And so he will constantly be throwing wrenches in our plans. And so focusing back on the mission statement will help to fight that spiritual battle as well and get everybody on the same page.
We pray this has been encouraging to you and helps you to understand how important a mission statement is. Go back and listen to our two-part series in episodes 8 and 10 about how to develop a mission statement if you have not done so already. And then join us on our Facebook group and post your mission statement. We'd love to see what you have, or post any other questions that you have. We'd love to have a conversation with you. And we will see you back here next time. Until then, we leave you with these verses. Psalm 133, 1 through 3. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And Philippians 2, 2. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind.
Hey friend, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with someone who may benefit from it? Or leave us a 5-star written review in Apple Podcasts. It blesses our socks off to know how this podcast is helping you. Also, make sure to connect with us on the Lead Your Homeschool Co-op Facebook page and join the conversation. We'll see you back here next time.